Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I just want to read a testimony. This is from Nathan. And I can't read the whole testimony because it's very, very long. But Nathan says, Hank, thank you for what you do for the Lord. In 1999, I read Christianity in Crisis. The draw of the prosperity teaching was like a drug. Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Jesse Duplantis, and others were the ones to emulate. And I was reading your book, many of the things I had started questioning about the Word of Faith movement, I started getting answers to. My mind was going tilt, and my heart was breaking into a million pieces. I ended up having a crisis of faith, and I didn't step inside the door of a church for 2 years. The teachings that have come out of the Word of Faith movement have so permeated the church, particularly Name It and Claim It and the Prosperity Gospel. I praise the Lord that He has brought me out into the light, and I'm very grateful to you for being obedient to Christ, for penning Christianity in Crisis, which He has used to deliver me from that life of lies and being controlled by the teachings of man. God bless you. I think about working on that book back in the late 80s. It was published in 1993, and this book has now sold millions of copies, and it is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I've written many follow-up books, Counterfeit Revival, The Osteenification of American Christianity. Copeland is no longer the biggest of the bunch. Today it is Joel Osteen. The ramifications of the prosperity gospel are immense. Your baby gets sick and dies, well, perhaps your words cause that to happen, because this is just a repackaging of New Thought metaphysics, the idea that faith is a force, that words are the containers of the force, and that through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. Let's take a call. Ron in Prescott, Arizona. Ron is listening on the web. Hi, Ron.
Good evening, Hank. Can you give me any information about Benny Hinn?
I have written about Benny Hinn and his perpetuation of Word of Faith theology and the ramifications of that in my book, Christianity in Crisis. I've spent a good amount of time with Benny Hinn personally over the years. You know, he is a delightful person on a personal level, but the teachings that he continues to perpetuate have gone from bad to worse, and they are exceedingly dangerous. And I suppose the testimony I read from Nathan augments that very point. So again, I've written about Benny Hinn in a book called Christianity in Crisis. Benny Hinn over the years has said some of the most outrageous things imaginable. For example, Benny Hinn said this: when you were born again, the Word was made flesh in you, and you became flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. Don't tell me you have Jesus. You have everything He has and everything He is and ever shall be. He is, so we are in this world. Say, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. By the way, for those that know the Bible, they know that I am has particular significance with respect to God. Remember the great scene with the burning bush? Benny Hinn goes on to say, that's why you never, ever, ever ought to say, I'm sick. How can you be sick if you're the new creation? Say, I'm healed. Don't say, I'm a sinner. The new creation, the new creature, is no sinner. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Let me just take that one idea. That one idea where you're never, ever, ever supposed to say that you are sick. I mean, if I didn't recognize that I was sick, I wouldn't be getting treatment for my sickness. And there are so many examples of people in the Word of Faith movement that end up not going to seek medical attention, because if they do, then they have created a state of fear rather than a state of faith. And if you do that, then you're not going to be healed. It's a way of robbing you of your healing. It is a damnable heresy. So many things that Hinn has said that are memorable, that stick out in my mind. He once said, "I'm sick and tired of hearing about streets of gold. I don't need any gold in heaven. I got to have it now. I mean, when I get to glory, all my bills will be paid, brother. I won't have any bills in glory. I don't need to worry about bills in glory. I got to have it here." You know, he has made all kinds of claims. When he was on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, he was saying, you're going to see people raised from the dead watching the Trinity Broadcasting Network. And he says that people around the world who will lose loved ones will say to undertakers, "Not yet. I want to take my dead loved one and place him in front of that TV set for 24 hours. So in other words, the body's at the undertaker, and he's suggesting that the people who are the kin or family of the person who is deceased not let the undertaker keep the body, but rather take that body and prop it up before a TBN show. And he said that he actually saw loved ones picking up the hands of the dead and letting them touch the screen. And people are getting raised as their hands are touching that screen. Well, all of this sounds absurd until you recognize the implications of this kind of teaching in the lives of people all around the world. Again, I've written about this in Christianity Crisis 21st Century, the book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Letitia, Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Letitia.
Hi, Mr. Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm listening on my way home, and it caught my attention because, sir, I have tickets to go see Joel Osteen, and I follow you every day, Hank. I love your show. Thank you for your ministry. But I'm trying to understand, or, you know, I've never really, I'm not even sure how to ask the question, but I'm trying to figure out how to get out of it, how not to go to see Joel Osteen. The tickets were a gift to me, and I don't know how to tell my friend that I'm going with, how to explain to her that, you know, she truly believes in the word of Joel Osteen. So I'll hang up and you explain to me how I can, you know, explain to her that maybe he's not.
Well, one thing you can do is hang on and I'll send you a copy of my book, The Osteenification of American Christianity, because Osteenification is a word that I coined because he's the biggest of the bunch, but it's nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American Christianity. It's the commodification of the divine. It's the reduction of Christianity to the crass specter of pagan consumerism. And while a host of pretenders follow in his train, he is just now the most popular preacher on the planet. And he is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of American Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends. A kind of Christianity beckoning multitudes to the table of the master, not for the love of the master, but for what is on the master's table. This becomes the glory of the cross transposed to the glory of consumerism, a sort of fast food Christianity, long on looks, dreadfully short on substance. It is the triumph of technique over theology, style over substance. I'd go as far as to say it is the preeminence of psychobabble over precept and principle. The bottom line is this: from my perspective, Joel Osteen is the de facto high priest of a new brand of Christianity, perfectly suited for a feel-good generation, but it has a dark underbelly. Says Osteen, the moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. That is a spiritual principle, and it works whether what you're saying is good or bad, positive or negative. I fear I'm going to die. Well, you just spoke death into your life. I mean, this, again, is New Thought Metaphysics repackaged for Christian consumption. Beware. That's why I wrote the book, The Osteenification of American Christianity. He is so popular now that even otherwise discerning Christians are now sort of buying into his psychobabble. Again, that's why I wrote the book. We'll be right back.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Hey, everybody, Randy. Next up, Terry in Boise, Idaho. Hi, Terry.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. I have a young adult son that has kind of walked away from the Lord for a while, and it's kind of been beat up by the world, and is coming back around and is open to God. I was wondering, he just can't go to church and relate, connect with church, but I think he would do like a Bible study. Where would you, what book of the Bible would you start at with someone that's kind of searching?
You know, this is maybe counterintuitive to sort of the advice that people would give you in terms of reading the Bible, but what I would do is I would start with either Psalms or Proverbs or both. I've just been going through Psalms and Proverbs. They're absolutely transformational, and they're so practical. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. I mean, these are all practical things. Every enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by staying abreast of the facts. There's no wisdom or counsel or understanding against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. And there are literally hundreds and hundreds of more, but they're intriguing, and virtually every single principle and maxim, therefore, for successful daily living are found in the book of Proverbs. And then the Psalms of David. I couldn't sleep a week or so ago. I got up in the middle of the night, and I was reading through the Psalms, and there was such an encouragement to me. And then I read, "You will not die, but live and proclaim the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastised you severely, but the Lord has not given you over to death." I took that passage, I memorized it in four different versions, and then that passage became something very, very meaningful to me. So, you know, those are two books that I would start with. But, you know, maybe even prior to that, I would get a good primer on how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended, because if you do for your son, the Bible will open up like a fragrant rose. If you don't, it still becomes very, very difficult to make sense of.
Thank you very much.
You got it. May the Lord bless you and your son. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to David in Midland, Texas. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, well, I appreciate you taking my question. We moved cities about 3 years ago. I've been kind of hunting for a church. And as we've been looking around, we've come across, I kind of feel like God's leading us towards some charismatic churches, which is new to me. I grew up in a Methodist church, and I have several friends that are Baptists. So I was just kind of curious what your opinion was on that and the topic of the gifts, either ceasing or still being, in play today, and I'll hang up and listen.
Sure. The baptism of the Holy Spirit in Pentecostalism is called the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Charismatics don't hold that position. They hold the position that it may be a evidence, but they don't say it's the evidence. And certainly there are charismatic churches that are fully within the pale of orthodoxy. So I think what you need to do is ultimately look at the goal. What are you aiming at? A lot of people shoot the arrow at the wall and draw the bullseye around where it lands, but you have to figure out in advance, what is it that I'm aiming for? And what you're aiming for is a healthy, well-balanced church. You want a church in which word and sacrament is the means by which you worship God in spirit and in truth. So you want the proclamation of the word and the dispensing of the sacraments. You also want a church in which you can feel that you have a contribution to make to the body. And to get some kind of sense of what I'm talking about there, I think it's helpful to read Romans chapter 12. And then finally, you want a church in which you can be equipped to be a more effective tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit as you go out and seek to make a difference in this world. So this is not just evangelism per se, it's being equipped for evangelism so that you can be an effective witness. So again, worship, God, critical. I mean, that's what we do when we walk into a church. We are worshiping God. We want to make sure that we have a church in which we are genuinely connected to the rest of the body, oneness, and then equipped for witness. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Rainey in Starkville, Mississippi. Hi, Rainey.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a question about in Ezekiel, and I can't remember exactly the chapter, but I think it's like 41, 42, 43. They're describing the, you know, he sees the vision of the temple. And I guess I'm a little confused as to, you know, if that's a future temple, why was there a need for places for sacrifices? Do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question and well phrased. It is not a future temple. And here's where the art and science of biblical interpretation comes in. If you don't understand the art and science of biblical interpretation, in this case, the historical principle of biblical interpretation, it's so easy to get tripped up by modern prophecy pundits who are telling you that this temple is a future temple. I still remember Tim LaHaye, when he was alive, making a big point of the fact that this temple, just as you say, is a temple in which sacrifices will take place, and those sacrifices actually atone for sin. They're efficacious, for example, for ceremonial uncleanness. Now, obviously, if you draw that out to its logical conclusion, Christ's atonement on the cross is not sufficient. More atonement has to be made, either in a tribulation temple or, in this case, a millennial temple. But if you understand the historical principle of biblical interpretation, you will not misunderstand Ezekiel's prophecy. So here's the deal. Ezekiel was prophesying from the dusty environs of a refugee camp in the south of Babylon near the river Kabor. And we know that by reading the text. So we know where Ezekiel is. He's no longer in the holy city. He's now in a refugee camp in the south of Babylon. And from there, he looks into the eastern sky and he longs for the glory of the Lord to return to a temple that had just been destroyed. So if you, again, understand the history, the temple has been destroyed. Ezekiel's in Babylon, and he's wistfully, as it were, looking into the eastern sky, praying for the temple to be rebuilt. And of course, his prayer received an answer under Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah. And we can read about that in Scripture. So he yearned for the promise of a temple whose glory would exceed even that of Solomon's temple. So again, the point is that we shouldn't presume that Ezekiel longed for a third or a fourth temple when the second temple had not yet arisen from the ashes of the first temple.
Right. Okay, well, perfect. That's what I was wondering. I just wanted to make sure that I had a clear understanding, because I kept thinking that couldn't be future. That didn't make any sense. So.
Well, see, your intuition was perfect. I mean, and I think this is where we have to question what we hear, because the popular narrative today is precisely the opposite of what I just communicated. However, if you check out the facts in light of Scripture and let Scripture speak for itself, then you don't have to say, well, here's one popular preacher, here's another popular personality, who am I going to trust? Now you're caught betwixt and between. You don't know which personality to trust. Now you don't have to leave it up to trusting personalities or people with platforms, but you do precisely what the Bereans did. They were called more noble because daily they examined the scriptures to see if what the Apostle Paul was saying was true. And this is a great precedent for all of us to learn from. Paul didn't discipline the Bereans, saying, "How dare you question me? I am the apostle to the Gentiles, and you're questioning me?" That is absolutely unconscionable. He didn't say anything of this. He said they were more noble than those at Thessalonica. Why? They examined the scriptures. They tested what he was saying in light of what God had already said. And I think this is a lesson for every single Christian to learn. Test all things, hold fast to that which is good. Please stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Be back right here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.